822-3637, 822-3637. Download the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com. From the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn, and just around the corner is hour number two, the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion.
Call the only agents I would call if I needed to sell my home. That is the Gelman Brothers with their STL Rocket listing. Mark and Neil can give you a cash offer within 24 hours. Call them today at 314-336-1991 or online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Each summer, Midwest Children's Burn Camp assists youth burn survivors, and now you can help too. Each time the St. Louis Blues score a power play goal during the 2020 regular season, Ameren, Missouri will donate $500 to one local kids' charity to help kids achieve their goal. From now until January 31st, go to AmerenMissouri.com/blues to vote for Midwest Children's Burn Camp. Vote today and help the kids score big this month.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave, because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule of roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253. Or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Biggie's Restaurant and Bar has been a staple of the community for over 27 years. At Biggie's, they pride themselves on service and great food. They make all of their dressings, marinades, and pasta sauces in-house. Biggie's is famous for their garlic cheese bread, steak sandwich, and their homemade white French dressing. Come in every Tuesday and Thursday for barbecue pork steaks, and every Thursday and Sunday for Biggie's famous fried chicken. Located at 3332 Watson Road, check them out online at biggiesrestaurant.com.
Your high school student is much more than a test score at Greenville University. Greenville University, a Christ-centered institution, values character and service just like the employers who hire their graduates. Greenville University's Panther Preferred Scholarship awards up to $18,000 annually for students of character and service. No minimum test scores, no minimum GPA, Panther Preferred, the scholarship that recognizes students of character. Apply at greenville.edu.
This is Diana with Neustadter's Fine Jewelry. This year we're celebrating 50 years in business. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives for over half a century. It's because of you that our small family business thrives in St. Louis. From our family to yours, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Dan Buffa is in the room, and in a couple of minutes, he will talk to you about movies, TV shows, Oscars coming up. I thought it was, well, I'll save it for when he comes in, something that happened yesterday at the Oscars luncheon. You know, these people, it's not enough if they get paid millions and millions of dollars. They got to throw big luncheons for them, award shows, and then after show parties, after awards parties. You get showered with stuff, but I just thought this was very interesting. Now you're on the edge of your seat. See, you won't go anywhere, and you'll give me time to do this. This meaning an invitation to change where you do your banking. I don't know how long I've been banking at First Community Credit Union. I don't. I'm not real good at tracking time. They've been part of the show for 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. And I've been banking there for at least that long. First Community Credit Union is a banking facility that is available to just about pretty much everybody who can hear this show. I say pretty much because there are people listening in like Switzerland. I'm not trying to act like we're, you know, global and every, but we sort of are. I get letters from, and emails rather, from people in all parts of the country and the world, but the bulk of our listeners obviously are in and around St. Louis, so most of you are more than welcome to come join us and bank at First Community Credit Union. It is the there are lots of credit unions, by the way. I don't know the number, but there are dozens of credit unions. But the largest is First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations, stable, secure. Website is, here's how easy it is to navigate. I use it. Okay, and I'm not the greatest when it comes to that stuff. It's very simple to do. Check account balances, move some money from an account to another, blah, 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 blah. Whatever you do where you're banking now, I'm inviting you to come and do it with us at First Community Credit Union. Two things will happen. One, you'll be glad you did. And two, you will be helping to support this show. It's kind of like Channel 9, when they come on and go, you make it possible for the programming on Channel 9, public broadcast. Well, guess what? You make it possible here, not by sending us money directly. You can do that, by the way, if you want to. I've never mentioned this. You can send me cash, and that will supplement my income and help me be able to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm not asking you to do that. You could. What I'm asking you to do to keep the show going is just patronize the advertisers. Give them a chance. Give them a shot at your business. Check out First Community. Go to their website. Stop in. Have some popcorn. First Community Credit Union. The website is easy. It's the name and a .com. FirstCommunity.com. And there are over 40 locations, as I said. And the rates, that's the thing. That's sort of what determines whether or not a banking facility makes it, breaks it, whatever, then their rates are extremely competitive. Just check, just start with the website if you like. Again, it's firstcommunity.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go.
Let's
go now.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
I haven't been in a movie theater for, I guess, about a month now, 4 weeks maybe, because I don't think there's, I'll know after I talk to this guy, I don't think there's anything there that's really that great right now to go see. I might mention before we bring him in that Dan Buff is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. This is the part I enjoy saying. The preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, and the official window of the soon-to-be Super Bowl winners, Kansas. That's right. That's my prediction.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Kansas City Chiefs. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Dan Buffa.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's that movie, Dan? With Will Smith, that's out with Will Smith.
Oh,
and
man, look at that. Deep Tease by Dan Strauss. That is one of the films I'm reviewing today.
Oh, nice.
DPs. DPs.
No, Deep Tease.
We can't talk about those. Tease.
That's a different show.
Oh, whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. I guess I confused that.
It's 819, not 419 once again.
Something else, yeah. So, look, the only thing I have to add is what I mentioned yesterday. I watched, sort of accidentally, Brittany Runs a Marathon, a movie I would never watch just by the title. It was actually good. That was, I wouldn't. It was good. It was actually good. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
It was kind of forgotten about a little bit. It was released, I think, by Amazon Studios. And, I watched it actually just a couple weeks ago. I had the screener the whole for 3 months. I didn't watch it, but it was actually surprisingly engaging, and it's also based on a true story.
And the girl who played the part of this true story, this person, was really good. I don't know who she was. What was her name?
I didn't even know her name.
She's not a well-known actress. I mean, I never saw her before.
Yeah, she's only kind of really breaking in. That was her first big lead role. She's usually part of an ensemble, maybe like the fourth or fifth person in a cast. But yeah, she's really good. And I think that will get her some more kind of like roles like that. Not exactly Melissa McCarthy roles, comedy with a little bit of drama, but maybe on that path to being like that.
And I wouldn't even call it a comedy. It was, there was a message there, and she did a good job delivering it. And then the other thing I mentioned yesterday was I rewatched, I guess now this is the sixth time I've seen it, and I forget how powerful two scenes are in Scent of a Woman.
Yeah.
Al Pacino has done, I know, a lot of movies. I don't know that I've ever seen him act better than he did in Scent of a Woman.
Colonel Frank Slade.
He was U.S. Marine Corps. Was he retired from the Marine Corps or
I think Air it was Army? The Marine Corps. I think Corps he was retired. A retired Marine. Because remember when he's taking apart that gun? I think that was a 25. Did you count? It was that felt like a 25.
Let me tell you something, folks. That Scent of a Woman, again, there's another movie that by the title, when it came out years ago, I thought, what the heck, Scent of a Woman? What does that mean? But you'll get it when you see it if you haven't seen it. And I know it's old news now, but there are two scenes that make the movie worth watching. What do you think I think those? I'm going to make it three. Three powerful scenes.
Well,
what do you think they are?
You can't beat the ending speech where he goes in to kind of rescue about to be charged Chris O'Donnell at the hearing at the very end.
That's the first of the three.
Okay.
What else?
The dance sequence.
Yes, the tango with the beautiful gal.
Gabrielle Anwar. Is that what it is?
Yes. Oh my goodness! What a powerful and incredibly beautiful
sequence.
Scene
yeah.
that is. What do you think the third scene is?
The dinner scene where he
almost chokes out.
Bradley Whitford, I think, was the brother-in-law, and he almost. I mean, I swear, 5'6" Al Pacino. Shoves this guy up against the wall and get ready to choke him out. Marine style.
No, you named them. In order, you named my three scenes.
There
enough about that. It's old news. We need to talk about
it's good
stuff.
News, though. It's a good movie.
And folks, here's the thing. If you have a recommendation or want to ask about a movie or TV show or whatever, here are our numbers. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. So what do you have for us today?
Well, the actress's name from Britney Runs a Marathon is Jillian Bell. She's been in a few things, but yeah, I think you're going to see her a lot more. So I just wanted to give that name for the audience if they're wondering. And it is on Amazon. If you have Amazon, it's free. Britney Runs a Marathon. So.
Oh, and last night was the night I decided to end it with The Outsider. That's it. They lost me.
You
that's
jumped
the
off
weirdest.
The boat?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm just a Stephen
still
King
in the boat.
Is a weird.
I'm still in the boat because I kind of know where they're going with this, I'm still in the boat. But it is getting really weird.
Yeah, is Britney Runs a Marathon, since it's on Amazon, because I have it, we have Amazon it, and I can watch it, but is it like a drama? Is it a comedy?
It's kind of a drama and a comedy.
It is.
Because
okay.
She's an actress that no matter what she plays, she's going to kind of have that comedic line readings to her role, but it's really kind of a serious story about somebody not just help cleaning up their body, but cleaning up their life by becoming a runner.
Okay.
It's serious, but it's not heavy. It's not depressing.
It's not heavy.
It's actually very well done. And essentially, it's a heavy, overweight girl. Mm. And I can't even imagine. The world is very cruel to women when they're overweight. And it's about her decision to fix it and take the advice of a friend. Just start running. Just start small. Just run down one block. And then next thing you know, she runs a marathon. It's a really good story.
It is. And I kind of like the way that the other characters in the film kind of had a role, too. They weren't just like props.
Yeah. No, it was good. So what else we got?
Okay, so we talk about, you know, January can be a bad month at the movies because it's when the studios kind of dump all their crap into the theater before the, you know, February and spring season. But you know, a couple movies that I've seen in the last week or two have represented kind of a return to form for either a film franchise or a director. The first one came out the weekend before last, and it's a movie I kind of expected was to hate, not really to like. It was Bad Boys for Life. It was the third movie in this series with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence playing buddy cops in Miami, and it's been 16 years since they did Bad Boys 2. And
I've never seen any of the Bad Boys.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The first one's good. The second one's better.
Yeah, but this one, I would argue, Limey is the best.
Really?
It's even better than, you know, the first one's got, like, you know, that good old slow motion Michael Bay, John Woo type action.
Yep.
But in the second one, all the fun kind of left the movie. It was really bloated. It wasn't a good bad guy. I can't remember who the bad guy was in
that
one.
The bad guy was some Cuban drug dealer. And I'll admit, you're right. There seemed to be a lot more extravagant action scenes in the second one.
The end of this movie where he's driving on that, what is it, an airport tarmac, and he gets right between the two doors. I don't know. It's kind of...
That was the first one, wasn't it? Because the second one is like they're standing right outside Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
And like they're trying to shoot this one Cuban guy.
Do you have to see the other two to watch this one?
No, the first one you don't really have to because the fun thing about this movie, and they address their older age. Like Martin Lawrence, you know, who probably needs to follow the Will Smith fitness plan, but he's so funny though, because he wants to get out of he wants to retire. Will Smith's cop doesn't want him to, and of course something happens and there's bad guys and there's a lot of shooting, but it's really funny. And I think Smith and Lawrence, what was lost in the second film, they kind of find it again. Because this one is the Bad Boys film I laughed at the most. And again, you do a third film 16 years after the second one, and there's a healthy reason to say why. But I think that I know why they did it. I think they wanted to kind of put a little trilogy together, really put it an ending on it.
Yeah, Michael Shannon is in the second one, isn't he? He's the redneck that gets shot in the butt.
You know, I spoke with Michael Shannon about being in the second Bad Boys.
Really?
He got
shot in the butt?
Oh, awesome. I want to hear this.
He doesn't think it's the best work that he's ever done. I'll play a little of the interview. I said, Mike, I haven't seen any of the Bad Boys movies, but I know you're in the second one, I hear. You don't think it was your best work. Why is that? Here's what he said.
I'll tell you what right now. I had a handy 48 back right before we went in here. And I'm telling you, it wasn't my best work, but it did get shot in the butt. Damn, that hurt.
Always there for us. Always there for us. Michael Shannon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't find that on Kimmel.
No.
You can't find that on Kimmel or Fallon.
No.
God. No, you can't. Is it my imagination? And for people listening who go, I don't know who Michael Shannon is. Yes, you do. He's one of those guys seen it. Is it my imagination, or does he have one eye that's like off a little bit?
I think one of his eyelids closes a little more than the other one. Like it droops just a tiny little bit.
Not like a Forrest Whitaker thing, but I think whenever he kind of looks at the screen, one of his eyes kind of starts to dance a little bit.
Just enough to kind of creep you out.
That's why I miss calls every once in a while. That's why I have to say, get up, baby, get up, get up, get up. And then I don't know if it's a home run or not.
I've got to turn Michael's microphone off. Limey, would you turn the mic off?
Sorry, Mike.
He's on beer number 49. He's in good form.
But there's something about... see, to me, I've decided if you want to become a really famous movie star, you need to be extremely good-looking or freaky-looking. You know what I'm saying? Like Jack Elam. Remember him?
Yep.
In 1,000 westerns, he had one eye that looked one way and one that looked another way. Honest to goodness, the guy, he didn't know who he was looking at. Look at Steve Buscemi. I mean, there's some ugly.
Jack Palance? He was kind of
Jack Palance. He wasn't good looking. Yeah,
he was just kind of scary, even when he was a little bit younger. I mean, in City Slickers, he was older, but some of his younger stuff. Like,
hey, how about the guy that played Igor in Young Frankenstein? What was that?
Oh, Marty Feldman.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
With the bug eyes.
What did he call him? Igor.
What a good movie. You want some soup?
There's an old song back in the 80s that was a takeoff of Betty Davis Eyes, and it's like, he's got Marty Feldman eyes.
So you can look really odd and be a successful star.
You got to be a really good actor, though.
You don't have to look like Brad Pitt. Oh, speaking of that, what I was going to mention was at yesterday's Oscar luncheon, I saw a picture of it, and there was a little article about how just almost ridiculous it was. Brad Pitt had a name tag on. It just said, on his breast of the pocket of his coat, it said Brad Pitt. Like, you wouldn't know at the Oscar luncheon, who's that guy? I just thought it was funny.
It would have been better if he would have put, like, the name tag of, like, Ben Affleck on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
And just really throw somebody up. Like,
or just a name, you know, Derek Robinson. No, Derek Robinson. And they go, well, that guy, whoever that Derek guy, looks just like Brad Pitt.
Michael Jordan.
I just thought it was weird that he'd have to. He doesn't need a name. Neither does DiCaprio.
Hello, I'm Brad Pitt. I was in a movie, or about 50 of them.
Yeah, name tag, not necessary. What else? Am I right about the movies, though? There's really not a lot worth going to.
Bad Boys for Life was very entertaining, and I think if you want a better sequel than Bad Boys 2, this is it. And also, to answer Dan's question, I mean, you don't have to watch the first two to watch this one. They come in with a fresh story. So I give it a 3 out of 4. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be at least a 1. I was even prepping the review, but it's good.
Here they come, 3 ARDs for Bad Boys. But what's it called? Bad Boys
Bad 3 Boys or? For Life. They just called it Bad Boys 3.
But they for are, Life.
Yes.
Three and a half, is that what you said?
Yes. Three.
Here they go. 3 ARDs. Here they go.
All right, Dan.
It's not bad. I anything you give like a 3. When you get to 2.5, I'm on the fence. But the 3, that's enough for me.
Frank, I have two quick ones for you. One I mentioned in the news, but Dan and I are both huge baseball fans. Obviously, I think John Goodman even called the show one day when Dan was on. He's narrating something that's going to air for the first time ever tonight on the Major League Baseball Network at 7 o'clock St. Louis time. It's called Whitey Ball. And it's got all these Cardinals that appeared in the 80s and all the broadcasters like Bob Costas and just all Al Michaels and everybody just talking about how no other team in the history of baseball ever played the way the Cardinals played in the 80s before then or since then. And it took them well over a year to put this together. John Goodman narrates it. It's on tonight on the Major League Baseball Network.
Is that a network most people get? Is it part of a basic package, you think? Or
I don't think it's basic.
It's probably not. Probably it's not basic.
Maybe the next level, though. MLB Network, Food Network.
I mean, why wouldn't something that I'm assuming is great, it's probably very good, not be on a more accessible network?
I have UVerse 450, which I believe is the largest package that they offer, and they never came to grips with the NFL, and we lost the NFL Network off, and I paid the most you could possibly pay.
This thing should be on ESPN, to me.
And also, Dish employees, people have DirecTV, or was it Dish? They lost Fox Sports Midwest last year. That never got reconciled. I mean, it's just not coming back. So you had to change a provider to get your Cardinal games.
Or Blues, for that matter.
The Blues, yeah. I mean, especially during that time.
It's all about the money.
And there's another movie that comes out next Friday. I asked Dan if he was going to review this. There's actually a political columnist in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch who wrote an amazing review about this movie, and it's about Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. You know, he's the one guy that never speaks on the Supreme Court. I don't know if anybody follows the Supreme Court, but you know, the justices, they ask the lawyers questions, and he never speaks. He just absorbs and listens. And of course, his confirmation hearings were he said it was that it was racist, that it was ridiculous, and he was accused of assaulting some professor in Oklahoma.
Anita Hill.
Exactly. So he hardly anybody ever has him on the record. Nobody can even do an imitation of him because nobody knows what he talks like.
Well, you know, you're right. I honestly, except for back when that trial thing was going on, I haven't heard him say a word since then.
In the movies coming out next Friday is a thing called Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words. And this is 3 days before the Iowa caucus. And from what the columnist wrote today in the paper, this movie makes Joe Biden look like a complete idiot. and just the way he's talking. And Clarence Thomas actually looks at the camera, and he referring to Joe Biden, and he says something along the lines of, well, actually, there's actually a quote in it. It says, one of the things you do in hearings like this is you have to sit there and look attentively at people you know have no idea what they're talking about. And he's talking about, and this is a sitting Supreme Court justice talking about Joe Biden 3 days before the Iowa caucus. How's that for timing?
Man, that's not an accident.
That's coming out. And that's not on Netflix. So that's in the actual movie theater. You got to go see it out.
Good. Let me ask you,
as a sports idiot, could you sum up like in a minute or so what Whitey Ball, what there was about Whitey Ball, the way that Whitey Herzog, what was it that made it so different?
I'm sure Dan has a take on this. I'll make mine brief. The Cardinals played on AstroTurf at the time, and they played in a stadium that at the time was maybe the hardest stadium in the National League, if not all of Major League Baseball, to hit a home run in because of the heat, because how far the fences were away, a lot of factors. So Whitey Herzog essentially assembled a team, Vince Coleman, Willie McGee, Tommy Herr, Ozzie Smith, guys that could all steal, that had great defense and stole bases and just drove teams crazy with how many bases they stole. They stole well into the 200s of bases. And in a 162-game season, I think they stole over 300 even.
It was a given when they got on first base they were going to steal.
They just terrorized opposing teams with these little banjo hitters getting on first base or second base and then just... And having an offense that everyone always created offense with power and slugging.
Yeah.
And everybody does that today.
Today, yeah.
But the Whitey Ball of the 80s was got, So every guy on the team except Jack Clark was a threat to steal every time he got on and drove the other pitchers nuts.
Wasn't Lou Brock like the number one, like the big
base
stealer?
He was before that. Right,
yeah. He wasn't
right.
part he was of it. He was in the 70s. Yeah.
But then again, okay. I mean, that was, like today, the way the game is played, Whitey Ball is just, it's a dead thing. And now, you know, interesting enough that the Cardinals are kind of getting back to that because they stole more bases last year and they played better defense and they got speed. But for the most part, Whitey Ball is a kind of a dead thing because it relies on.
But why? If
because,
it works.
Well, because it relies on on-base percentage and speed and things that
and
are not
stolen
really,
bases.
Yeah, not really marketable in today's day. I mean, baseball is trying to promote like the big power hitters, the superstars, and those kind of players on the Whitey teams. They just don't really exist anymore. Like Mike Trout could have played on Whitey, but he can also hit 30 home runs. So it's just a different game these days.
Like Tom Herr, like in 1982. When the Cardinals won the World Series, and Tom Herr had 561 at-bats, he didn't hit a home run the entire season.
No, not at all.
And doubles and singles.
Oh, yeah, and stolen bases. But this day and age, if you don't hit 20 home runs, regardless of what position you play, the next guy behind you is getting a look.
Yeah, yeah. Like to Whitey Herzog, you know, hitting a bouncer like up the middle and reaching first base on an infield single or a bunt, that was his preferred method of an offensive attack on the other team.
In 82, when the Cardinals won the World Series, Keith Hernandez played first base, Tom Herr played second, Ozzie Smith, short, Ken Obergefell played third. They all had at least 516 at-bats. Between the four of them, the entire season, between the four of them, they hit 11 home runs.
I was going to guess less than 20. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, an interesting sidebar, too. Mike Trout is a first cousin of Catfish Hunter.
Confirmed.
Dan, don't tell me, Dan, you weren't sitting there trying to come up with a Trout joke. You know you were.
I actually wasn't.
And
I
was you know, time, yeah, you were.
And even though both those guys are white, they had a cousin who played ball as well. His name was Kevin Bass.
No, there you go. And Ted Simmons was pre-Whitey, right? That was 70s.
Whitey traded Ted Simmons.
Yeah, he traded
to Milwaukee.
That was one of Whitey's first things he did was trade Ted Simmons.
Yeah. And that's a guy who lives in St. Louis, and you just never hear about him, from him.
Whitey, he's been sick, too, hasn't he?
No. I'm talking about Ted Simmons.
Oh, Ted Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, Whitey's old, and he's not well. But Simmons, you just... He's not one of those guys that pops into the booth and, hey, Ted Simmons stopped. And it's almost like you wouldn't know he lived here.
That's he's a pretty quiet guy.
Ted Simmons wanted, he's got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he talked about how he actually was named a general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he was an executive, I think, on at least one other team, but he never got to manage. It's like Babe Ruth. If you ever watched the Babe Ruth story starring John Goodman, I might add.
There you go.
Remember John Goodman in that movie?
Yeah, I loved it.
He wanted to manage, but they told him he was too dumb to manage.
Yeah.
He hated that movie. Goodman hated Babe, and I was told years ago, the first time before I ever met him, we brought him to the studio, I was like to say, is there anything I shouldn't bring up with this guy? They say, don't mention the Babe Ruth movie to him. So I didn't, because apparently he wasn't real proud of that. But I watched it. I thought it was good. I thought he was cast perfectly for Babe Ruth.
Like he was.
In 85, for example, Frank, when Vince Coleman, Willie McGee, and Andy Van Slyke were the starting outfield for the Cardinals, the three of them combined stole 200 bases. Just those three guys.
Wow,
in 1 year.
That was at speed.
No, there are teams in Major League Baseball now that, as a team, don't steal 50 bases in a year.
Yeah, they don't.
We had an outfield that stole, just an outfield stole four times that.
This is where you hit, in a good way, positive way. Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Like Tim Wikipedia Woodburn. That's unbelievable.
Timopedia.
We call Woodopedia.
So we got a little off track, but it is part of the segment because that thing is going to be on
TV.
MLB
it's
going to
be on TV.
I just think it should be on something a bigger platform.
Eventually, I think it will if it's successful and they watch it a lot on MLB Network, which is kind of an exclusive channel. I think maybe they'll put it out maybe in a DVD at the very least.
Or ESPN or something.
Yeah.
So what else is out there?
Okay, well, I said it was a return to form for a franchise and a director. Well, the second film, which just came out this past Friday, is called The Gentlemen, and it's directed by Guy Ritchie, who is very well known for doing the Sherlock Holmes films, as well as a British gangster comedy called Snatch.
And as being the former husband of Madonna.
Yes.
Yeah, right,
basically.
Paul Guy.
who poor Madonna tried to talk like Guy Ritchie. She tried
called
to adopt
Snatch, and Madonna's in it.
Is Snatch about Madonna? Is that movie about her?
No, it's just an unfortunate coincidence.
Mike Shannon on now on Beer 52. But no, this is a movie that just like that movie, you know, where it had Brad Pitt playing a gypsy, Jason Statham before he was an action star. But this one called The Gentleman is starring Matthew McConaughey. And I like that in this movie, the drug empire that kind of powers the film is not like cocaine or heroin or, you know, ecstasy. It is a marijuana empire. He basically started this company. He owns the business, and it's, you know, he's kind of a gangster, but as he tells another character, he doesn't sell stuff that kills people, but he's still kind of like that gangster, that top guy in town. And, well,
and who is this? Who's the star?
Matthew McConaughey plays Mickey Pearson. He is the, you know, marijuana empire, the drug kingpin of a marijuana company, and he wants to get out of the game, and so that brings a lot of targets on his back because we find out this guy is not just another, you know, little drug empire guy. He's got some demons in his past. Hugh Grant is in this movie. It's in.
I wish you hadn't told me that.
No,
I can't watch it.
He's good. He's funny.
I can't stand
he doesn't
it.
Play typical Hugh Grant. Again, The Gentleman puts all the right actors in the right spot. Charlie Hunnam, people know him from Sons of Anarchy. He is
I
in
like
the movie
him
as well.
A lot. I'm going to rewatch all of Sons of Anarchy. I'm not kidding because I jumped in about
it's a good show.
Like second season or something. I'm going to watch the whole thing again.
So basically, it's Mickey Pearson, played by McConaughey, trying to sell his company, but also trying not to get killed because there's a target on his back. People want his company; they want to steal it from him. The movie is funny; it's action packed, but it's also just Guy Ritchie doing what he does best. What Guy Ritchie does not do best is make King Arthur movies.
No,
that movie 2 years
so
ago
bad.
Was so bad. He
it was
made
so
this,
bad.
He made again. He took Charlie Hunnam, a good enough actor. Good enough leading man.
You and put David Beckham in it, who
David
can't act.
Beckham, yeah, and then
cannot. Sorry,
it was a movie that it was so bad that it was a very high budget film that made no money, and it was ripped apart by critics.
It was bad,
and I think halfway through the film, I think Charlie Hunnam looked like he knew it was bad. Like I'm in a bomb. This is bad.
You could tell you couldn't save that movie.
No, you couldn't. But so when The Gentleman comes out, they get all these big actors, and I go, man, hopefully he doesn't mess it up again. But this is one of McConaughey's best roles because I think it relies on that charm that he has, but he's also a convincing drug kingpin. You know, and again, it's not like your typical guy. He's not like, he's not Tony Montana, you know, who's like basically a cocaine drug crazy guy. It's got a lot of comedy. I think if you like Guy Ritchie films, especially Snatch, Lock, Stock, Smoking Barrels, and even the Sherlock Holmes films, you'll like this movie. I mean, it's a return to form for a guy that I thought after the King Arthur movie, I was ready to kind of, maybe he had kind of lost his touch. But
I might go watch it if you can tell me that Hugh Grant gets killed like halfway through.
Hugh Grant is kind of...
just talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, he might get his leg ripped off. Let's just put it that way, okay? There's a loud scream, you know, and... But no, again,
so it's called The Gentleman.
Called,
I assume that's the reference to Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it's more like it's kind of what you are when you kind of get into that underworld of drug dealers and killers. If you manage to be a gentleman and keep your word, that's the whole idea of the film. And again, Matthew McConaughey is really good. Charlie Hunnam and Hugh Grant is not typical Hugh Grant, Frank. So you might like him in this role. He's kind of a guy who everybody kind of wants to punch in the movie because
that's great.
Well, because he causes all the events. He puts the target on McConaughey's back, that character and then the whole series of events of the movie kind of get kicked off because of this slimy guy named Fletcher that Hugh Grant plays. So it's not a typical Hugh Grant. It's not leading man of a romantic comedy Hugh Grant, but The Gentleman is good, you know, and I want to give it better than 3, but I'm not sure it's a 3.5.
He can do 3.25. Limey can do anything.
Limey for Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give it 3.25.
All right, here you go.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Dean. All right.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
And also, when you reach that level, that underworld level of getting the title gentleman, you get to go into those clubs, those gentlemen's clubs. You get to go to those.
Oh yeah, you do.
I mentioned one time before, I get the biggest kick out of that, and every time I see one, I just chuckle because, really, it's a gentleman's club.
Really? I mean, in this movie, there's one part where McConaughey's character tells Charlie Hunnam's character, and this is, you know, he's like his second in command, like, you need to get an insurance plan if you keep tossing people off buildings. I mean, it's just this random piece. People are murdering people. They're called the gentlemen. That's Guy Ritchie's world, and I think once again, we're kind of living in it. So good for Guy Ritchie.
At 3.25, I would give that a shot. Yeah. Wait, is that in the theaters now?
Yeah, I would, if you had to say, well, you gave two good reviews of Bad Boys for Life and The Gentleman, I would tell you to see The Gentleman more, because I think it gives you more.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'm overdue to go to a movie. So
yeah, go out there and see it. I think you'll laugh. I think for a British action thriller that's very... It's not serious. I think you'll enjoy it.
I prefer serious. If it's going to be a gangster theme, seriously, I like really dark and
there's consequences.
Gangster movies.
I mean, and they don't really shy away from the violence either. It's just that there's some good old quirky like humor in it to kind of keep things a little bit light. That's basically what the humor is like in the movie.
Dan, the guy's not still holding it. It was on the screen. It's not Norman, is he? He's gone.
No, he's gone.
We do have time if anybody wants to jump in here. And again, if you've seen something or you're curious about something or heard about something, 314-821-0590-855-282-8255. I know you can't watch everything, but did you watch the Grammys?
You know, I watched a little bit more of the Grammys and also the All-Star Game that I have in the last few years. So I did catch some performances, and I don't know, I was kind of impressed. I didn't know who half these people were, because I don't listen to enough music anymore, but it was an entertaining show.
Mm-hmm. What did you see that we're actually impressed with? I'd like to know.
I mean, I like Demi Lovato's performance. That was an
emotional
performance.
Demi Lovato's performance was good.
Yeah, I mean, she almost overdosed, 2 years ago in 2018?
Yes. Yeah, right.
And she wrote this song, and she's up there. And the different thing was is that she started, and then she stopped, and she almost kind of said, can I have a do-over? Because she was emotional. I can't imagine being emotional. You have to sing a whole song in front of the whole world, in front of the whole audience, and, you know, a lot of people could have just broke down, but she's like, just give me another shot. And she sang the heck out of that song, and I don't know one other song she sung in her life. I know she's a big name, but that was probably one of the biggest things then. I think I watched that a couple times.
Yeah, I don't know much about her. I'm
me neither.
Sometimes I'm just real skeptical about it. Look, these people are entertainers.
Oh, yeah.
So, in a sense, they're all actors, even if they're musicians. And sometimes I wonder, was the fake start, did you do that on purpose? Because,
man, I don't know.
When there's a slump in a career, sometimes all you need is to break down on stage, or have them carry you off, or get admitted to the hospital. Oh my God! Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're in the news and you're back on top. I don't know. Maybe it was legit and real. I don't know. I don't know much about her. She's good looking, and her voice is good. I don't know that I understand. And I guess you have to be careful what you say these days, but I've chosen not to be. I'm old enough now. I don't know that I understand the opening act with that Lizzo and them trying to bring out as many women as they could find who were also 800 pounds. I don't, what was that?
There's performers like her, and there's Billie Eilish. She's
just turned 18.
And she's doing the theme song for the new James Bond film, so we'll see.
And she's cute, but she'd be cuter if she hadn't done that Adam's Family thing to her hair.
Just did that to her hair. But I'm telling you, Frank, watch the CBS Sunday Morning interview with Billie Eilish and her brother.
Okay.
And they show how they still write their music and everything in the bedroom because they live with their mom and dad still.
That's incest.
And they go in the bedroom and write the music and play and everything. They have a piano in there and stuff.
There was a movie on last night, Frank, that I bust out laughing out loud. And Buffa, who's an incredible trivia guy, you throw him like two actors or an actor and actress and say, remember what movie that two played in? And he'll roll his eyes in the back of his head like he's about to go into a coma, and then boom, he'll just spit it out. So there's a movie on last night that I'd seen. I had not seen before, and it was called Jersey Girl. It came out in 2004 with Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler, Steven Tyler's daughter. Have you seen that?
Liv Tyler.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
No, no, and this, no. This is 16 years ago, Liv Tyler. I actually really enjoyed the movie. I was watching it while watching the Blues Lose last night. I recorded it, went back and saw it. But there's a scene in there that's just beyond comical. So Ben Affleck is a single dad. His wife dies at childbirth, and he raises a daughter by himself. And he's struggling to find a job, and there's some other little plot lines with that. But the daughter says, can we go rent a movie? And so he walks into an old-style, like Blockbuster-style movie rental store where they still had VHS tapes and stuff. And so while the daughter's looking for one, he, like, you know, they have, like, the porn section over, in a room with, like, you know, with, like, you know.
Like family like, video. Like,
yeah.
Family video.
They had that in the stores?
Yeah.
Well, I never knew that.
They had it curtained off, though. And so Ben Affleck, like, kind of peeks over his shoulder, makes sure his old 7-year-old daughter's been looking. And he sticks his hand in there and just grabs out the first one that his hand makes touch with. And, like, hurries up and walks up to the counter and says, I'd like to hurry up and check out what this for my daughter gets here with her movie. And Liv Tyler looks down, and it's a gay movie. Yeah. Okay. So that's funny enough, as that he's like, well, maybe you could find one that's maybe a little bit more for
and
a straight
Liv
guy.
And Liv Tyler shoots in that flirtatious look.
No, Liv Tyler shoots a flirtatious look. So Liv Tyler is a smoking hot, maybe late teen, early 20s girl in this movie. She is smoking hot, and here comes dirty old Ben Affleck, who's clean cut with his daughter in a movie store. And he lets her get, you know, Cinderella or whatever, and he reaches out and wants to get a porn, and Liv Tyler hits on Ben Affleck as this happens.
That would really happen.
That has never happened in the history of mankind where a man has walked into a movie store with a 7-year-old girl, and the teenage girl behind the counter tells him, I'd like to have sex with you.
Yeah. I think she's in her 20s. I think she's younger than Affleck. Well, but I think if you look like Ben Affleck, you may even get away with it. But Ben Affleck is the
most expressionless actor I've ever seen. His face has zero expression. Let's have a discussion about something.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I think this is going to be fun. Tim mentioned the section of the video store with that curtain, and it must be over 18 or whatever. Who in this room has not been in that room in those stores? Anybody?
Everybody has.
Now, isn't it interesting that for some reason, when you look at the curtain or the room or the door, from that moment, even before you get in there, you feel like a pervert.
And you feel like, immediately, I hope nobody...
And you walk in, I hope nobody sees me in there. Well, if they see you in there, they're in there too. So it's a wash.
Well,
but I never really quite understood.
What stores over here had porn sections in them? Because we have Blockbuster over there, but...
Dr. John's
never.
Does.
No, but I mean, like,
any of the stores...
Family Video, and they had that.
And that's what's interesting
video.
Too. Family Video, but Blockbuster non-family. Didn't. Blockbuster didn't, but all of the smaller local chain or independents, they had that section.
And the point you're missing is that when people go into that section of the store, it's hilarious because if you're going to rent a movie like that, you can look at the front of the movie and say, I'm probably going to like that. What's hilarious is the guy that picks it off the shelf and reads the back.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. You want to do it and get in and out of there as fast as you can. Like, you're trying to break the previous record for getting in and out. But there's so much to look at. You're going, oh, man, I got to look around. I don't want to miss something that might be great. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in those rooms.
Sure.
What do you look for around the room on that cover of that, on that VHS, later DVDs? What was it you kind of looked for to be, that's the one I'll take?
The answer could be as simple as
girls,
starting in my head.
The actress.
Yeah.
I think if you had a favorite actress.
Big boobs.
Couple girls.
My answer is boobs. Two girls, two hot girls making out. Okay, that's it.
I'm there. I don't care what the title is, who's in it. It's like the opposite of being a film critic. I'm sold on the cover.
And what's funny is that, you know, the if you watch documentaries about the porn industry, these girls, they have a shelf life of about 18, and I mean the day they turn 18, to like 20, maybe 9. And what's hilarious is to see the documentaries of the girls that are like in their 30s and their 40s now, like Brie Olsen or somebody that was like a real popular actor.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to make it, but they don't have the same look that they had. And they're still trying, like this gal on her Twitter account, she wants you to buy a subscription for her to send you a dirty text every day.
Uh-huh.
There are people who do it.
That's real.
And if you get the premium subscription, she'll have a 5-minute conversation with you once a month, and you can talk about whatever you want.
That's how
they have to make it once their porn days are done.
My wife just texted me, and she's like, they had new releases in the XXX2. The guys would look for them.
Oh, she worked.
Yeah, she was a manager, so you know, every time I just kind of go up there, I'd be like, eh, she gets out working.
Did your wife ever bring home?
No.
Oh, right.
No.
Right.
Sure she did. No.
Sure she didn't.
Uh huh. I'll leave that up to be an allegedly no. But no, it was there was people in there. The bad thing is when you walk in there and there's two other guys and you're like, okay, I'm just going to come back. This is going to be too many guys in this little small space. But yeah,
it was a weird room. And before all that, does anybody remember? And you could go downtown St. Louis and there were places downtown, magazine stores in the back. You put a quarter in a thing. It's a viewing room and you got to watch like 8 minutes of what we call stag movies. No, 25 cents. And then it'd be playing the film. And then it would quit. Oh, another quarter. Another quarter. And then pick up where you left off. No, I'm not kidding.
If you can't finish in one quarter, then just take your money somewhere else.
Yeah, but we would never go into those.
There's no 35 cents around here, buddy.
Who's got a dime?
Who's got a dime? How about a nickel? No one goes
with
a dime.
I was in my early 20s. I had a job downtown briefly. I went in a store downtown. I had a suit on. And I go in, and they had Hustler and Worse magazines, but they were in cellophane and you couldn't, you know, flip through them. So I go in there, I'm 22 or whatever, and I have a suit on, and I just thought, I'll open this gently and not tear it. I'll give it the thing. And as I'm doing it, the guy in the store, there was one of those mirrors up in the corner, those convex mirrors that show them. He sees me and he gets on the store PA and goes, gentleman in the gray suit, you going to buy that magazine? Or are you just going to stand back up? And I looked up, everybody's looking at me. I thought,
this is the end of my life right here.
Yeah, creepy feeling. The good old days. We miss the good old days. I have to do some business. You know how to wrap it up.
I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
it. Dan Buffa, everybody. My window world. The number one selling replacement window in the United States. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Dan. I'm going to wait till the Playhouse and let you tell your Brenton Vision story because I want to give it time. Is that okay?
Sure.
Because Dan's got some big, big update news on Sandy, his girlfriend's incredible vision now, thanks to Brenton Vision. We'll do that in the Playhouse. What I'll do now is remind everybody that Window World has the Midas Touch. They do. This is the company that signed a deal to partner with the Blues before the last season ever started last year, and then they win the Stanley Cup. And at the beginning of this football season, they partnered with the Chiefs for the first time, and now look what's about to happen. They're about to win the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. So any company that has sort of that kind of intuition or whatever you want to call it, they're doing something right. And those aren't the only two things they've done right. The other thing was when they decided to bring Window World to the St. Louis area and the Kansas City area. Of course, we only care about the St. Louis area. And here, like the rest of the country, it is the number one selling replacement window in the United States. So I guess we could add that to the list. Hockey, number one. Kansas City Chiefs, soon to be number one. Window World, number one. And then when they decide to take on a charity, they're probably the number one producer of charitable contributions for that charity, which I hope is what's going to happen this year when they switch the recipient. It was St. Jude Children's Hospital for years and years and years, and this year in May, when they have the trivia night, the money will go to Action for Autism. And as we get closer to that, we'll talk a little bit about autism and what it is and how many people are affected by it and all that. Because I think it's still a misunderstood condition. There's Asperger's, there's autism, and a lot of us are confused by all that. But my guess is they're going to raise a tremendous amount of money with your help because selfishly, once again, I would like for this show to bring in more money that trivia night in May than anybody else and embarrass the other radio people. That's my goal. Embarrass them, make them look bad, put them in a distant second place, somebody. Window World, number one in the country. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. I told you that I felt like today would be a good day. So far, I think I was right on track, and I think the third hour, I think we say the same thing. Get ready for a great 5 o'clock hour, third hour of the Playhouse, and a joke that a listener requested that I have not done for at least a year, and I think you will like it. It's 5 o'clock. It's 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
This is an NBC News Radio special report, the impeachment trial. President Trump's legal team has wrapped up its opening statements in the defense of the